Are you loving what you're hearing? Well, the establishment hates it, and right now they're conjuring up new ways to try and censor RCR. To ensure you never miss a beat of the hard-hitting news you've come to know and love, make sure you're on the RCR mailing list. Get connected now at realitycheck.radio/email.
Well, that was Samuel Barber's Años Dei. What a piece, what a profound piece of music, and so calming. And we're now entering into the second segment of my show, which is Reflections. You're listening to RCR. My name's Jerry Pives, and this is Real People in the Psychotherapist Chair. And I wonder what you made of Gary Moller's session. For me, it was a real pleasure to listen to and delve into the thoughts and ideas of a wonderful 71-year-old man, an elder. We've lost the capacity, I think, in New Zealand and across the world to respect the elders. And at 71 years old, the man knows of what he speaks when it comes to health. And of course, I was fascinated by how he walks the talk or rides the bike of his own approach to health and happiness and well-being. And I think there are insights for all of us here. After all, it's not often you get the chance to talk and listen to a world champion. And he admitted that having been mountain biking for over 40 years, at the age of 71, he's now setting his best times in 40 years. Well, that is something. Not only that, but he pointed out that he doesn't just measure his well-being by his physical prowess and his physical ability and his physical performance, but he measures it by another of his loves, which is to write. And he's also saying that never before in his life has his brain and his mind been as sharp as it is now. So this is someone worth listening to. And I rather giggled a little bit when he said, if you go and see a doctor who's less healthy than you, then run out the door as fast as possible. He did, of course, add the caveat that, you know, if you've been in an accident, who cares about the health of your doctor? You just want to be fixed. So that was a really interesting element of that. And actually, if we do look at the health statistics for doctors, the suicide statistics for doctors, they are not good. And in terms of mental health, of course, there was so much to reflect upon. He actually worked in the last standing mental health hospital in New Zealand, the Cherry Hill Hospital in central Otago. And he pointed out that nutritionally, there was very little that the inmates or the patients or the clients, whatever word you use, there was very little in their diet that would help them get better. And there was a very interesting discussion, wasn't there, about the role of medication in mental health. And this is an ongoing topic of discussion and debate right here on RCR. Rodney Hyde is doing some really interesting stuff, some really important work, and interviewing some top people on that. So, you know, do jump across to Rodney Hyde and see what you can find out more from his interviews. And wasn't it an interesting discussion around minerals like lead and mercury and iron? Absolutely fascinating. So much to learn in that session with Gary. And I did get so involved and caught up in the wisdom and the knowledge that Gary had, that it was only at the end I explicitly asked him, you know, so what is it that gets you out of bed in the morning? And what we saw was a genuine generosity, which I think is something that grows with age. That's why we need to value and respect our elders. I don't say this just because I'm reaching that stage of life myself. I don't mind if people recognize me or not, to be perfectly honest. I don't really care. But I think society loses out when it refuses to acknowledge that people that have lived through a life, and for Gary, his life has been a whole life dedicated to understanding health, well-being, and healing. Now, surely that is worth a listen, isn't it? And all the information that he had to share, that's what got him out of bed in the morning. He didn't want it to die with him. He wanted to pass it on to future generations. Now, I call that generous. And generosity, I think, is one of the key elements of what it means to be human. I think if we cease to be generous to some extent, we cease to be human, don't we? And of course, if humans are love, which is my belief that we are born to live with and through love, then we want to give that love. And what got Gary out of bed in the morning was the generous spirit that wanted to share what he knew with future generations, and there would be no benefit to him from that. And I think generosity is one of the key indicators of our mental health. I've noticed that many people who are unhappy or unwell are people who are self-absorbed. And it's only when we heal ourselves and we find out what has stopped us from giving and reaching out to the world, taking out our membership of the human race, as Eric Byrne once called it, the founder of my psychotherapy approach, transactional analysis. The purpose of therapy for him was to help people get their show on the road again, or get their show back on the road, and take out their membership of the human race. I rather like that. Get your show back on the road and take out your membership card to the human race. And of course, if we retreat inwards and into just the self, then we're beginning to lose a fundamental element of what makes us human, which is our interaction with others and our need to give. People often talk about, I don't get enough, I don't have enough, I don't receive enough, people don't care about me, yada, 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 yada. Now, I don't mean to be insensitive. How could I? My job is all about being sensitive. But there comes a point where we have to find what it is that has caused us to retreat from the world and from the giving to the world. I don't think there is anything that gives me greater pleasure than to help another person. It's that simple. The sheer joy and uplift and pleasure. And whether that's helping an old lady mend a fence, or it's helping someone find their mojo again, or whether it's fighting a fight on behalf of our community, protecting future generations, whatever it is, giving is key. And if we can't give, if our giving has dried up, then we need to fix that. We need to find out what's gone on that I've stopped wanting to enjoy the fantastic feeling of helping others, helping the earth, helping our community. And that's what got Gary Muller out of bed in the morning. The idea that he could give to future generations. No benefit for him there whatsoever. Now, some of you are aware that my life as a psychotherapist has also been balanced by my life as a body worker, massage therapist, touch therapist, however you describe it. I'm not sure how I describe it these days. And what I noticed during lockdown, I had an association in the UK of 500 massage therapists that I was looking after. When COVID lockdowns hit and they couldn't work, it was amazing how they all dropped ill. They didn't get ill from any fantasy COVID germ theory rubbish. What they got sick from was being unable to give their touch. And they fell like flies and were very sick and went very depressive. And it was hard work looking after them. And when they got like that, they also got very volatile. So that when I suggested that there was a little bit going wrong with the world of science that suggested there was a virus that could hit you hard when you stood up, but if you sat down to eat at a table, it wouldn't get you. I lost almost half my association. They reacted to a different view. And isn't that interesting, that what Gary was talking about? Can we tolerate a different view? So number one, I wanted to share my thoughts on generosity, my reflections on generosity, and how fundamental it is to being human is to give. And number two, I wanted to reiterate what Gary was saying, because he said some very interesting things about accepting difference. Can we tolerate a world where people think differently to us? And he had some very colorful descriptions of how difference can be overcome and how we need to respect difference. After all, within each of us, we don't want to recreate the fustercluck that is going on in the world, where totalitarianism is rearing its ugly head and arresting people for what they think and say. That is the hallmark of totalitarianism, for anyone that's thinking and anyone who's listening and anyone who's got their eyes open and anyone whose brain cells are actually interconnecting with each other. It's all around the signs of totalitarianism. And so the last thing we want to be doing is within our psyche, within us, within the being that is you and within the being that is me, the last thing we want to do is to develop an inner fascist, an inner totalitarian self that cannot tolerate other people's views. And of course, how do we become damaged by external forces? Well, we become traumatized by fear. And if we get traumatized sufficiently, we find ourselves becoming more and more intolerant. The traumatized person, and we're all carrying a great deal of it, becomes intolerant to other views and other opinions. And so I think it's really important to be able to say, if I am fearful, I am traumatized, and I am becoming intolerant of other people, then I can reverse the fear porn, I can reverse the whole dynamic by choosing to relax and accept difference, making it okay to live in a world where there is difference of opinion and difference of approach. Now, we never allow abuse to be okay, and there's an awful lot of that going on. But if we focus within and ask ourselves, what happens to me when I accept that I have my view, that's okay, and someone has a different view, what happens to me when I allow that to be okay? I wonder if, like me, you get an internal, because the pressure of trying to make others believe what I believe is a lot of stress and a lot of angst. And if we just let go and say, it's okay for you to have a different view, as long as your view does not harm others, then we can find a way to, as it were, undo the tension of fear and the damage of fear that is being inflicted upon each and every one of us all through the day. It's very hard not to hear the news. So even if you've, like me, got rid of TVs, don't listen to the radio stations, there's only one radio station whose news I'm listening to. I wonder what that might be. And if you're not a foundational member of RCR, you'll be missing out on the most magnificent news summaries. And of course, if you tune in at 7 o'clock in the morning to Paul Brennan, you'll hear some amazing news bites that will really give you a much better and more balanced picture of what's going on in New Zealand and in the world. Not to mention Philip Duncan's amazing weather forecasting, which I absolutely love that man. So what I'm suggesting is that we pay attention to our inner fascist, to our inner Hitler, or our inner Stalin, that will not tolerate anyone outside of our views, and allow ourselves to relax. It's okay. We're not in charge of the whole world. We're in charge of a very small bit of it. And within that small bit that we live, can we allow for difference of opinion? And I think Gary was onto this when he was talking about how we need to respect our differences. So today I'm reflecting on the importance of generosity and the importance of being aware of our inner fascist and actually doing ourselves a favor sometimes by relaxing and asking ourselves whether in our small area of the world that we're living in, we can tolerate a difference of opinion.
Thank you for tuning in to RCR Reality Check Radio. If you like what you're listening to, dislike what you're listening to, either way, we want to hear from you. Get in touch with us now. You can text us with your message to 2057. That's 2057. Or email us at inbox@realitycheck.radio. We would love to hear from you, so connect with us today.